We're up to the last chapter. So I ask if you would turn to John chapter 21. And we're finishing off the John's Gospel series in two parts through John's Gospel, through chapter 21. And I'm going to work my way through the passage this morning. So we're working through from chapter verse 1 through to 14. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman. I make a better pastor than I do a fisherman. So the last time I went fishing, I managed to hook a groper cod, but not land it. And just moments after that, another person on the boat hooked what we suppose is the same fish. I'm saying it's the same fish. And he managed to land it. It was massive. I've got a picture of it. So that's my fishing story of the one that got away. I'm sure every one of us have got a fishing story similar to that. But my fishing expertise is minimal, and there won't be a career change in my future. Now, it's been more than a month since we were in John's Gospel, so we've come back to close the series off, as I said. We're looking at chapter 21. The last time we were in John's Gospel was late in November in chapter 17. Johnny Lush gave us a message of Jesus' high priestly prayer. And we covered chapters 18, 19 and 20 in Easter time, at Easter time, which detail the arrest of Jesus, the denial of Peter, the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial, and some of his resurrection story as well. Chapter 20 gives us the first appearance of Jesus to his disciples, with Thomas not present, but then later on he is present. So we're in chapter 21, as I've said, and we're looking at the third time in which Jesus reveals himself to his disciples after his resurrection. And his purpose, John's purpose for the entire letter, is to show that the reader might have life in Jesus' name, that he might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have life in his name. And he says this in chapter 20, but the purpose of chapter 21 is to show how Jesus restores Peter after his great denial. So let's work our way through from verse 1. And we're just reading from verse 1 to verse 3. So after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and they caught, but that night they caught nothing. As warm as it is, that is frustrating me. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is our location for this revelation of Jesus this morning. And it's another name for the Sea of Galilee. Picture the Sea of Galilee as one big lake in Israel, and there's Tiberias down the southwestern corner. Tiberias is a city on the edge of the lake. And Galilee is the region in the top of the top of Israel. And so the location is very similar to where Jesus spent most of his time of ministry. It's actually where he called Simon Peter and his brother to follow him and to be his disciples, as well as others. And we see that from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. I'll just read that out. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, another name for the lake of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So there's this correlation between this event and the calling of Simon Peter earlier on in Jesus' ministry. Simon and his brother were fishermen, and they were called to be disciples or to be fishers of men. And maybe because of some misunderstanding on their part of what Jesus had called them to do or what they've seen recently, the brothers decided that it would be a good idea to go back to their previous vocation, to go back fishing. Now, to be a fisherman was probably considered a lowly position in society. You worked all night, you came home stinking of fish. If you didn't catch much, you didn't get paid much, and so it would have been a fairly low position in society. But this is what Peter and his brothers knew. This is what they knew as their vocation, or this is where their expertise was. They weren't just thinking, "Oh, let's pass the time and go fishing like we do often." But this is where their expertise laid. And perhaps after his monumental denial of Jesus, Peter thought that there would be no further use for him in God's kingdom by Jesus. And so he returned to his pre-Christ vocation. And this, thinking through this passage this week, it's given me the question of, what has God called us away from that we have returned to? Whether it be an old job or a career that God has called us out of, or whether it be returning to sin and temptation, or simply to returning to the world and being more like the world than being a Christ follower. What has God called us out of that we have returned to? Now, Peter would have to be my favourite disciple. We'd share very similar character traits in many ways, I reckon. And there are times when I could go back to farming life or to just simply go and drive a truck because ministry is difficult some days. But I remember that God called me out of that to go into ministry. And so my question to you this morning is, has God called you out of a career that you have gone back to out of simplicity or necessity? Or is there a sin that you keep returning to, or a temptation that you keep returning to, that you need to repent and turn away from, that God has called us away from? Or do you need to improve on your witness for Christ in your circle of influence that God has you in right now? Whatever that might be, whatever area that might be, I encourage you to be obedient to what God is calling us to be and to do. Don't just return to an old career because it's easier. Don't just give in to sin and temptation because it's hard to fight against it. Don't remain silent when you have an opportunity to speak up for Jesus. Regardless if you feel similar to how Peter may have felt after denying Jesus, be obedient to what God is calling us to do. As we'll read on, we'll see that as God, where God calls, he also provides. So verse 4 through to 7. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. Now, do you remember from a couple of months ago, we were in John chapter 15, and the message about the vine and the branches. John writes in verse 5 of John 15, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Where God calls, he also provides. Now, the disciples' fishing expedition illustrates this notion of abiding in Jesus perfectly. Without Jesus around, they caught no fish. Until Jesus arrived and he asked them to throw their nets out once more. And without being obedient to what God calls us to do, we are not fruitful either. Or not as fruitful. Without being obedient to what God calls us to do, we don't always experience his miraculous provision and protection. When Jesus asked the disciples to throw their nets out again, they caught a large number of fish. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not going to get all prosperity gospel on you and say that just because you are obedient to God, you will get everything that you want and need. But where God calls, he also provides. Now let's make sure that we also don't think that Jesus just knew that school of fish was there on the other side of the boat either. Let's remember that God created fish, Jesus created fish, and at that exact moment, he had those fish, or perhaps created those fish, for that specific purpose. But another thing that shows up is the grace of Jesus as well. Even though these guys had not understood fully of what Jesus was asking them to do, even though Peter had denied Jesus numerous times, even though they'd returned to the familiar and not gone and done what Jesus was asking them to do, Jesus still meets them back in their pre-Christ vocation. And he addresses them as small children. He says, in a question that asks for or anticipates a negative response, he says, have you caught anything? Some of these guys had been in a similar situation as we read in Luke chapter 5. And surely one of them recognized the same circumstances and knew that it was the Lord. And when John realized this, he said to Peter, "Peter, it's the Lord." And Peter put on his outer garment and he threw himself into the sea. And this is why I love Peter. He's not an idiot, but he does things with such reckless abandon that he doesn't think before he acts sometimes, or doesn't think before he speaks as well. You would think that he would stay stripped off for work and throw himself into the sea, but there was obviously a notion of respect here. Even though he is dripping wet, it would have been more respectful for him to be fully dressed and go and see Jesus than it would be to be dry and half-dressed. But this act of Peter going for a swim shows the beginning of the restoration of Peter. More that we'll see next week. Verses 8 and 9 says to us, "The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they had gotten out onto land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread." So we see that where God calls, he also provides, but he also restores. Only a few days beforehand, Peter had been standing around a charcoal fire in the courtyard of the temple. He'd been asked by a servant girl and other servants if he was a follower of Jesus. And he denied Jesus three times, and then the rooster crowed. Fast forward to this moment with the charcoal fire, and we see Jesus beginning to restore Peter. We'll see this in greater detail in the second half of the chapter. But Jesus had already finished cooking on the fire. He already had fish cooking on the fire, And this shows us that Jesus doesn't need human efforts to provide for those whom he calls. He had bread waiting for them. And so this image of the fire with the fish cooking and the bread also waiting for them would have reminded the disciples of the great many miracles that they had seen already. The wilderness where Jesus fed the 5,000 wouldn't have been too far away. And so where God calls, he also provides and restores. Let's read the last four verses, 10 to 14. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So the disciples knew that they were in the presence of the Lord. They didn't have to ask who he was, and so many of moments about this very just small setting would have reminded them of the ministry of Jesus. But take note of the number of fish that they caught. I'm not going to go into great detail about the numbers there. There's a lot of numbers in the Bible that mean different things. But let me introduce you to a friend of mine, called C.V. Vadavana. C.V. lives in India, and he began his ministry life as a Catholic monk, a Franciscan monk. And through God's provision, he received a copy of the New Testament, and he began to read it and realize that there was more to ministry than just the four walls of a monastery. He came to the Lord, and he left the monastery, and he had simply just 153 rupees in his pocket. And he started out of that 153 rupees, which equates to $4 or $5 in our money, he started a printing press for Christian literature. He now also runs and owns a Christian bookstore, as well as the printing press and a disability center for children. And this illustrates for us that where God calls, he provides and restores. And so my thoughts to you this morning is, what is God calling you out of at the moment? Is he calling you to fulfill in you what he began? Is he calling you to turn and repent of sinful habits? Is he calling you to be obedient in the place that he has you right now? Whatever it is, wherever, where God calls, he provides and restores. Now, and I also don't want you to be thinking this morning that where God wants you to be has to be in a full-time ministry context. You don't have to serve God as a pastor or a youth pastor or a ministry worker or a missionary. God wants his people to be serving him where they are and in the world, but not of it. That means that you can serve God as his person, as his followers, in your current context. Whether that be a farmer, a teacher, or a homekeeper, or a mechanic, or a boilermaker, your God-given calling might be where you are right now. So where God calls, he also provides and restores. But let's keep these three things in mind very quickly. Let's be aware of our own limitations. As this story illustrates for us, we've got to abide in Jesus, because without him we can do nothing. Peter and his mates were pro fishermen, and yet they caught no fish all night until Jesus arrived. If we try and do anything, regardless of whether it's in our own calling, our own context, but if we try and do it in our own strength and ability, we will not be as fruitful as when we abide in the vine. Secondly, let's assess our priorities. All believers have been called to make disciples, and what and where and how that looks is different for each one of us. But we've been commanded to do everything as if for working for the Lord, to bring glory to God. And if a career change is not possible or even necessary, maybe an attitude change is possible. Maybe we need to assess our priorities and change our attitude toward work and commit every aspect of it to the Lord. Say, literally, God, this is your truck, or this is your farm, or this is your desk, or these are your tools. Help me to be the best worker that I can be, and help me to be a fisher of men and women. And lastly, let's come to terms with our imperfections. Peter was imperfect and he failed Jesus, and yet Jesus restores him and used him greatly to begin the church. And Jesus knows when we fail him as well. It doesn't take him by surprise. Failure for the believer is just a reminder of our need for Jesus to abide in the vine. With the penalty of our sin paid in full, failure is a reminder to replace self-confidence with Christ confidence. So let's remember this morning that where God calls, he also provides and restores. As we break into this new year, let's trust him for all things in the places and the jobs and the circles of influence that he has placed us in right now. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is risen, that he lives, and that he lives with us, within us, through his Holy Spirit, through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we do pray that you would continue to use us, that as we serve you as our risen Savior, that you would use us mightily to bring people into your kingdom, to help them understand who you are and what you have done for us, and that they too can experience peace with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we go from this place and return to our contexts, that we can go and be used by you, whether that be of any vocation or any circle of influence or any location. Lord, I pray that you would use us and that we would be obedient to what you call us to do. Help us to be fishers of men and women, and help us to see people come to a knowledge of who you are and what you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to ask if you would prepare yourselves for a...